Hey guys, welcome back. I hope you had a wonderful, restful Thanksgiving. Hopefully you stayed home, you stayed safe. For myself, I stayed home with Dave and the kids. I still made way too much food. I still cooked for the normal 15 people that I normally host, but I delivered some food to my mom. Dave and I ate the rest, and we're still working our way through leftovers. My kids ate nothing that I made, which was just amazing. Real heartwarming, wonderful time at the Thanksgiving table. My picky eaters, what will I do with them besides love them? Love them a whole bunch. But now listen, Thanksgiving is over, and my favorite time of year is here. I have the whole house decked out. We're very jolly and happy. But this season also brings my least favorite thing. You know it. You know I hate it. Reindeer cars. Okay. I hate seeing perfectly logical, smart, well-meaning grown men and women dressing their cars up as animals. I will never understand it. Although I do understand that the state of the economy and our nation's happiness as a whole is always correlated with the number of reindeer cars that I count every year. So this year, I think there's going to be a surge of reindeer car antlers, not because the economy is great, but because people are looking for a little laugh at the end of 2020. You know, we all want a little jolliness here and there, a little chuckle at the end of a long day. So couple that with having some hope on the horizon, a new year in 2021, and voila, trust me, Rudolph and his little gang of friends are going to be decorating the top and sides in front of every sedan in sight. But this year, just mark my words, this is actually going to be my official prediction for this week. There is going to be a wacky little mask on the front grill. It'll probably have some cheesy saying on it, like, even Rudolph says mask it or casket, or maybe not casket because that's kind of morbid. Like, wear your mask or stay ho ho home. Ooh, actually, that's pretty good. I might need to trademark that one, but here's what you need to know. Each one of us right now is going to see at least 10 masked cars with antlers by December's end. That's the official prediction. Write it down in the prediction book that doesn't exist. Hopefully someone's keeping track of this, or I'll start taking notes. Fun fact about reindeer. They can actually carry COVID. Yikes. No, I'm totally kidding. I don't know why I would do that to you, but can you imagine? Oh, 2020 would really go down in history as the worst year ever if we found out Santa's reindeer carry COVID. As if sitting on Santa's lap wasn't terrifying enough. Now, my actual real fun fact this week is celebrity driven, of course, because I love a celebrity fun fact. This week, I learned that Nicole Kidman has something called lepidopterophobia, a phobia of butterflies. She hates butterflies, can't stand the feeling of them touching her. And supposedly this stems from her childhood in Australia and being married to Tom Cruise. Heyo! Okay, I couldn't resist that one, but I would actually love to know if anyone else has a phobia of butterflies, because in doing my research, I found a phobia that I think is far more common than many people know. It's called oikophobia, the fear of certain items in a house, like the sink, oven, refrigerator, or dishwasher. This is a real thing. And I know this because I live with three people who also have this phobia, because God forbid any of them but me go near them, use them, empty them, or clean them. Seriously, guys, that is a phobia. And I guarantee you it was some disgruntled husband who was sick of his wife nagging him about it. And I bet their last name was like Oikos. Maybe it was even the founder of the Oikos Greek yogurt. I gotta say, I'm not a big Oikos person. I'm more of a Chobani, but that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about what is coming up At the end of this episode is our weekly Would You Rather. And at the end of this episode, you can go check out Patreon at patreon.com/lovetohateTV or Total Request Podcast at patreon.com/trpod. And this week coming up on Patreon, Amanda and I have a Teen Mom 2 crossover coming up. And every week we are recapping the latest episode of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Coming up on Total Request Podcast, two of my most favorite shows ever. The first being a show I assigned Amanda to watch. It is MTV's Fat Camp. Yeah, remember that throwback? And Schitt's Creek, the episode called Merry Christmas, Johnny Rose. So go ahead and check that out. But right now, let's jump into some Love After Lockup, Life After Lockup. My life just got a whole lot easier because once again, Ritual has knocked it out of the park. You guys, they just developed a multivitamin for kids ages 4 and up. It's so easy now. I just go to one place, couple clicks, and I get all my vitamins for my entire family. Ritual Essentials for men and women for Dave and I, the multi for teen girls for my page, and now the multi for kids for Charlie. And Ritual is not just your grab off the shelf vitamins at the grocery store. Hand to God, I subscribe to Ritual with my own promo code because I loved the sample Ritual sent me way back in January of last year. This is the honest truth. You guys know so many of the struggles that I have with my picky eaters, and my little guy is on so many supplements and steroids after his latest hospitalization. So at his last doctor visit, I actually showed his rheumatologist Ritual's multivitamin for kids, and she loved it. Every doctor is different, of course, and I'm not going to speak for everyone or every doctor, but personally, I was able to eliminate some of my son's extra vitamin D he had to take and this omega-3 pill that he hated because Ritual is already chock full of exactly what he needs. And the best part for him is that it's a gummy. It's not a huge, you know, horse pill that you're trying to shove down your kid's throat. And there's even fiber and prebiotics in that gummy, which is amazing if you're kind of a vitamin nerd like I am. Also, Ritual is always transparent with their ingredients and their sourcing. You can look up on their website exactly what city or country your vitamins are coming from. So you know exactly what you're putting in your family's body and you know that it is the best of the best. Plus, your deliveries are always on time, so you're never running out. You can pause, skip, cancel at any time, no hassle. Plus, you're saving on shipping now because you can bundle all your orders together like I do. I'm telling you, you're going to love Ritual as much as I do and as much as everyone in my house does now. $1 a day to have all the essential nutrients your body needs right to your door, no strings attached. And right now, Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off your first 3 months. Try it out. Satisfaction guaranteed. Just go to ritual.com/realityTV to start your Ritual today. That's 10% off during your first 3 months at ritual.com/realityTV. So here's the thing with this show and I. We have a love-hate relationship because some of these couples I hate enough to watch the show, and some of the couples I love enough to not care about. For example, a Brittany and Marcelino. Well, I don't love Marcelino, but I love Brittany. So I don't really need to follow them that much because she's got a good head on her shoulders. Things are going fairly well for her. I don't need a weekly update. Now, other couples like Sarah and Michael, I really could not care any less. Nothing is going to change about them because nothing's going to change about Michael. He will forever be a drifter and a grifter because he can. He finds women that will allow him to do it. And that is that. I can't stand following them or talking about them anymore. So if you're looking for recaps on Sarah, Michael, and I'm going to try to say Malcolm the way that Sarah says it, Malcolm, you might want to look somewhere else. I don't know what to tell you. They just bore me to death. But best of luck to Sarah and those kids. Now, let's talk about Sean and Destiny. Good news, Destiny is not pregnant. Turns out it was just a severe case of diarrhea and a desire to score some pain pills from the ER, allegedly. So Sean is still totally confused where Destiny went. He doesn't even know about the whole pregnancy scare going to the hospital. He's also worried about his $50,000 that he doesn't have that's on the line if she doesn't show up for her court date or to turn herself in. So he's determined to find her. He's going to do everything he can while hugging the deep end of his pool at his Airbnb while he makes a single phone call to her sister to find her. And he's also getting horned up the ass by this unicorn floating in the pool. I mean, such a catch. Oh, I mean, a girl can dream, right? Someday, ladies, we'll nail a guy like him. Now, moving on very briefly to Quaylon and Chevelle, because I feel like we can kind of group them in with Sarah, Michael, and Malcolm. Chevelle's family is still in the same place that we left them last season. They don't approve of Quaylon. They feel like he got way too much just jumping out of prison. She gave him everything, made it way too easy for him that he didn't even have to work for anything or prove himself. So they're insisting that Chevelle just drop him out of her life, delete his phone number from her phone. And, oh, I guess I should mention, it looks like Quaylon went back to Texas after the end of the last episode we saw. So I'm kind of with her family. Like, what are you waiting for? Move on from this guy. Now let's talk about Scott and Lindsay. And we're also going to talk about Andrea and Lamar, but I'm going to save those two for last. Yikes. All right, so Scott and Lindsay, the thing with them is that they're fun to watch because they're a train wreck. Most of these couples are. But they're not just your middle-of-the-road train wreck. They're like a crash on the side of the road that everyone's slowing down to check out. But it's not because of the car crash. It's not the busted-up cars or the flaming engine. It's because there's a psycho bitch with a Bratz doll hairdo beating the shit out of her sugar daddy. You know, it's like as pissed as you are having been caught up in that traffic jam for an hour or two, you're like, oh my God, that was so worth it. You're riding away, calling everyone you know because you feel like you are so privileged what you just saw. That's the same thrill I get watching Scott and Lindsay, even though they're boring as hell. I freaking love it because they actually kind of deserve each other. So in this episode, Lindsay is still ranting about how Scott is too nosy, that he's always snooping through her shit. We know about the letter, and now he's gone through her phone, found an ex, and messaged the ex through Facebook. So she's all pissed off. She feels like she has no space of her own in the house, that it's all about him. Of course, this is just an excuse because she wants Scott out of the picture and she wants to move into Terrible's trailer in the freaking driveway. But we have Scott now that is moping and pissed off too because he's finally realizing that he is not the Daddy Warbucks that he himself actually started to believe he was. He knew he was duping Lindsay, but he started believing it like a real freaking psychopath, like a real pathological liar. He was thinking he was rolling in the big bucks. But what I am most offended and annoyed at this point is the state of this house, particularly the front and backyard. Would it kill either of them to get their asses outside and mow? That shouldn't be beyond Lindsay's little ankle bracelet limit, right? She could still be in the yard. Or even if they're outside while they're smoking their 1,000 cigarettes a day, can you get down and pull up some weeds? Scott's out there talking to his friend about being knee deep in this relationship. How about getting even further knee deep in that crabgrass and start pulling up some of those dandelions and some of those roots? Like, I am horrified. And if I were their neighbor, I would be calling the city about this code violation. If I were a neighbor having to stare at that scraggly ass lawn and that air conditioner that's hanging on by a tiny little, it's probably not even a bolt. It's probably a nail out of that front window. I would absolutely be calling. I don't care. Call me a Karen, but I'm a Karen who cares. Oh my God, that yard. I wonder if you could get in trouble for mowing a neighbor's lawn. Like if it looked that shitty. Oh shit, I was just going to say if they were gone, but Lindsay can't go anywhere. But if they were gone, if I knew they were out of the house, I would get my ass over there, mow that lawn. They're not going to know any different. And even if they got me on some kind of camera, what are they going to do? Tell me to come back and put the grass back? Well, then I would. If I happened to bag it and mulch it, I would dump it in the front yard. Any of you totally bored by my lawn rant? God, I'm so suburban. All right, so, sorry. It's been like 2 weeks since I talked to you guys. I have a lot to say. All right, Andrea and Lamar. Same old with this couple. You know, Andrea is still crazy, and Lamar, he's got that place in my heart. He warms my heart. I just love the guy. He's become probably my favorite person on this show. He's just a lovable teddy bear. But Andrea, wow. She is probably a very attentive mother, not on an emotional level. She doesn't want her youngest daughter to know her siblings. Lamar has, what, at least one other daughter that we know of. And for Andrea to be this religious woman, this devout woman who's always crowing about family and family is forever, and we should always be together no matter what, that should go all the ways, Andrea. And what better support system for little Priscilla, who didn't have her dad in her life for the first several years? What better support system and network of family who can help her, who know exactly what it's like to have a parent who's been incarcerated? It's Lamar's children. It's her siblings. What is her problem? And I would really hope, and I know I'm being very optimistic here, which is a huge departure for me, but I would hope Andrea would watch that scene with, I think his daughter's name was Shantae. That sounds right. With Shantae and Priscilla when they were at that little boardwalk area. She was so lovely to Priscilla. Just the way she spoke to her was very loving, very age appropriate, sisterly, you know, or actually almost motherly. And Andrea's older two kids, Tennyson and I forgot her name. I want to say Paris, but I could be just making that up. Those two would probably love to meet their step siblings too, right? Now, let's take a moment to talk about Tennyson, who we can all agree is so much smarter and wiser and more mature than Andrea could ever wish to be. Andrea is really the one who I think needs to go on a mission, because she needs to go to anywhere outside of her comfortable bubble so she can put things into perspective. Andrea's whole life is all about her. And obviously she's a narcissist, but you know, narcissists don't know that they are narcissistic. Her whole life is always about what she wants and fulfilling her wants and needs. But a lot of the time she kind of covers that with her being Mormon. Like, it's not what she wants, it's what the Mormon church wants. She puts it all on her religion instead of just saying, I'm kind of a control freak. This is what I want or prefer you to do. But again, she's, you know, very immature. Of course, she would never do that. But perhaps she went on a mission as an adult. What if they broke the rules for Andrea? Because, you know, Andrea never breaks rules. She never lies, right, guys? If her church allowed her to do that, maybe she could give back and then she could control her life in that scenario instead of controlling everyone else in her life. She tries to control Lamar to a certain extent. I guess she does, but he's kind of breaking free. I was about to break into some Freddie Mercury there, but I'll spare you. Tennyson is right at that brink, and she's lucky he's smart because he could really fuck up her life. You know, like, he could really turn some shit upside down. Thankfully, he's got a good head on his shoulders, and I think he knows, like, all right, if I just stay straight and narrow, I can get myself together, earn some money, and get out of here quicker. She's got some great kids, but she needs to let loose, loosen up the reins, or else it's going to turn into... Actually, she would probably love to be Jamie Spears. She would love to have Britney or Tennyson under her spell. You know, we have Free Britney. Maybe we need to start a hashtag Free Tennyson and Priscilla and Lamar and middle child. God, poor middle child. I'm just filling all these stereotypes here. All right, so let's take a very quick break, and then we're going to dive into 90 Day Fiancé, because what an episode. Well, you guys, I don't know what to tell you about The Other Way other than I really need it to be over, because it's getting way too dark and way too serious for me. I like to sit down and watch my 90 Day Fiancé and not have to think about, you know, someone dying, someone being murdered by their father, or if a baby is going to survive a mosh pit. You know, it's just too much for me at this point. I'm really looking forward to 90 Day Fiancé, the new season coming up, because these couples are just bringing way too much heaviness to this show. But, you know, we got to finish out the season strong. So let's actually start with Brittany and Yasin. First of all, before we actually talk about those two, I really, really need to know. My stomach and my metabolism needs to know, what were those guys cooking up and slinging around in that outdoor kitchen? They spent a lot of time focusing on them, shoveling something in and out of a wood-burning oven. You know, I'm the kind of gal who likes meat on a spit, you know, or like a spinner, like the gyro meat. I don't want any like mystery stuff, but a good chicken, a beef, you know, anything Midwesterners eat. No fish, because we don't know what that fresh stuff tastes like. But, you know, give me some gyro meat, some fresh sides, and I'm the happiest Midwesterner on earth. Okay, and I could be wrong, but I think I spied some fresh cukes and tomatoes, which is pretty much the closest thing to happiness we have in 2020. You know, next, if I may be so indulgent, as long as I'm talking about my favorite foods, I would like to nominate Adam, translator Adam, to be the next host of Serial. I don't care what the case is. I mean, we could go into Adnan, or we could go into, oh, what was it? Bo, right? Anyway, I want Adam to solve it. Whatever the case might be, this guy has the voice. He has the it factor. Whatever he says, I'm just taking it as fact. It's very well thought out. He sounds very educated. To me, he's TLC's or my Christiane Amanpour. He's just got what it takes for me to believe anything he says. But let's talk about the jackasses of the hour, mainly Brittany. Okay, she just shouldn't be allowed to leave her house anymore. I'm going to group her in with Nicole, OG Nicole from 90 Day Fiancé. They're just not allowed out of their homes, not even because of COVID. They can't. They cannot subject anyone else to their ignorance. And I know I'm going to be jumping past a lot of the translation trio, you know, between Professor Adam, Brittany, and Yasin, but we all get the gist of what's going on at this point. You know, we have common sense. We know that he's in trouble. So how Brittany goes from hearing everything that Adam is telling her, everything that you can see in Yasin's eyes, to Brittany saying it is Yasin's fault that he and he alone got them into hot water. That's what she calls the death threat, the fatwa or similar that is on Yasin's life. Hot water. Bitch, you knew you were talking to a devout Muslim man from Jordan. And she has been there, what, three times at least? And yet, when Yasin gives her the perfect opportunity a number of times to take a step back and be like, you know, maybe I just need to think about our relationship right now. You're right. There's a lot on the line, like your heart beating. She assures him that she's committed to him. I'm talking about when they were sitting on the stairs and Brittany says the K-1 visa is their only option. It's the best bet because she doesn't want to stay in Jordan. She doesn't want him to stay there because it's dangerous. So over and over again, Yasin is asking her in every way that's possible for him to ask it if she thinks she is going to change her mind. You know, do you have any doubt in your mind that you want to be with me? And she gives him mixed answers and then contradicts herself. But she always begins the sentence with, yes, I want to be with you. Yes, I'm committed to you. So it's no wonder Yasin's confused because she's confusing all of us. Even though we know what's in her heart, she absolutely has no intention of getting the K-1 visa. You know, Brittany was probably the only person back in, what, March? Or maybe Jordan went into lockdown in, like, February. She was the only person on the planet at that point that was cheering that it was getting locked down because that could not have been more perfect timing for her to get the hell out of there. Actually, I take that back. Yasin's family, their prayers were answered. They were probably way more excited than Brittany. She was on the next flight out, thank God. And I hesitate to bring this up because, okay, well, Yasin's family is certainly not listening to this podcast, but don't you think they definitely banged it out that last night? Because Yasmin was looking at her in that taxi with these very swoony, love-drunk, sex-fulfilled eyes, like they were leaning into each other, like they just shared a secret. Yeah, Yasmin's definitely under Brittany's spell. He doesn't even know that she's not worth it, which is what makes it so hard. He is so sincere, yet he's found the most insincere, ignorant, lacks the foresight to even care about anyone else's feelings or lives. He's managed to find her online. Oh, I can't wait for this tell-all. Let's jump to some lighter things, and that's Armando and Kenny's marriage to be. Now, it's like time is moving light speed. You know, our little Hannah growing up right before our very eyes. She's got a big girl room to prove it. They have the big Hannah in wood letters above the beds. Everything's pink. It's adorable. The only thing she's missing now is her fairy godmother, Auntie Jody, who's going to deliver a Rosetta Stone Spanish language series for Papa Kenny so he can get with the fucking program and learn Spanish. Jesus. But later, things get really sweet between the two because Kenny plans this surprise picnic on the beach for Armando. And as much as I hate sand and open bodies of water, it was so cute and so romantic. And I loved watching their banter. They were joking around to the camera about like a Brokeback Mountain kind of joke. And Armando was the one who cracked it. Whoa, coming alive, Armando. I love it. You know, they were just adorable. And I loved seeing that real part of the relationship, you know, that spark they actually have between each other. And as silly as this is, I teared up a little bit when they started galloping down the beach. It was really sweet. They're on their horses. And even though I hate horses, or actually horses hate me, because, you know, I'd be paired with one that would ride me out into the current where I'd be swept away where a dolphin could eat me. I can appreciate a lovely moment between a couple. And then they both do like their hands or fists up in the air, almost like a Breakfast Club thing. I took a screenshot of it and I'm super proud of it. Almost as if I planned it myself. All right, let's get on to Jenny and Submit's shit show this week. Well, besides the lack of air conditioning or the air conditioner they couldn't turn on because of the sound and the cameras in there, I'm sure. Oh, wow. Mother Submit really brought the heat. She just laid all her cards out there. What a horrible mother-in-law she could be. And I know there's some cultural and religious beliefs going on, but her screechy yell just triggered that part in my brain that only the Kardashian voices and Evelyn and the family Chantel can reach. And it was just right there. His mother's voice, just something does it for me. I know I'm projecting some things here, clearly. Those of you who listen to Patreon know what I'm talking about. But, you know, obviously I don't want anyone to die. Submit doesn't want his mom to die, which is why it was pretty, in my opinion, disgusting she would throw out this suicide out there. I don't think it was something she'd do. I think it was a threat, but you don't want to call someone's bluff on that, okay? I don't know enough about the culture and the religion to know whether she would do that or not. And that isn't something that Submit should have to carry if, God forbid, she did that. So that begs the question, what are Jenny and Submit supposed to do? This has been Jenny's third trip to India, and it's been at least 9 years that she talked about, and they're still in the exact same place that they started, except the only difference now is that Jenny has a ring. And I'm going to quote Submit here. When he delivered this ring to her, and I'm saying delivered because it wasn't a proposal, he said, and I quote, "This is something you've always wanted. It's not a wedding ring." Cue the rainstorm causing them to flee the park. I mean, it's the same thing over and over again. They leave the park in the same status of the relationship as they went there, except she's got a ring on her finger, which means nothing. And this all goes back to what Submit did having his parents over there. If he did not have his parents over, they could have gone, gotten married with that spiritual ceremony, and she could have stayed there with the marriage visa, right? So he knew his parents were never, ever, ever going to accept this. So he knew he was going to have to throw out that 50-50 compromise. So he knew Jenny was going to have to go back. If he truly wanted her to stay there, they could do actually three different things. Option one, go get married with that spiritual thing. Don't tell his parents. She gets the visa. He could tell them they got a sponsor or something. Second option is they would have lined up a sponsor far before this because Sumit clearly knows that he never had any intention of marrying her. Or what was my other one? That they still get married in the spiritual ceremony, tell his parents, and I guess risk it, which we don't want to do. My point being, there are a number of different things they could do or could have done to keep Jenny there with a variety of visas, right? So I will say this again. Jenny, aka Phyllis Lappin from The Office, can find a Bob Vance right here in the United States. She's going to have to come to the States, right? She's going to have to come back home. And we're starting all over again, only to go back and still not have a marriage visa. I mean, this is all ridiculous. She's just going to find a Bob Vance, Vans Refrigeration, right in the greater Phoenix area or wherever the hell she is, and be done with it. Or you know what? Maybe she makes a crossover. Maybe she's the person that makes a crossover from 90 Day Fiancé to Love After Lockup, because we're on season, what, three or more of Love After Lockup? Don't tell me that Jenny cannot find a man stateside behind bars or not. I'm just putting it out there. Jenny, you can do better. And by better, I mean possibly a prisoner. All right, Jihoon and Devin. Well, it's the wedding day and everyone's getting ready. And we find out even the men get their hair and makeup done on their wedding day, which I kind of like. You know, it's very well thought out. No one has to worry about their husband showing up with a shitty haircut or drunk and wasted because, you know, no hair and makeup people are going to let a guy just get sloppy in front of them. They'll knock that shit out of their hands if they have to. Pretty confident about that. So we have Alicia looking gorgeous in that traditional Korean gown. I actually love when the moms walk down together. It was beautiful. Mr. Alicia, Devin's dad, looks like Brad Pitt-ish. He's actually a nice-looking guy. I would fix up the hairdo a little bit. It's a little dumb and dumber, but he's a nice-looking guy. He seems like a nice man. Jihoon has dyed his hair. I mean, he looks like he's the new Annie on Broadway. I don't know what shade of red he wanted or what he was going for, but it's far too brassy for him. And when he walks down the aisle, it scared me. Like, it looked like he was flapping. He was aggressively raising the roof in such a violent manner. A little too excitable for me, especially when you compare him with Devin, who walks down the aisle. Like, one side of her mouth moved slightly enough to be considered a smile at one point. All that to say, the ceremony itself was lovely. Way more than most people have in the United States, I'd say. So I think Jihoon's parents did a beautiful job. Would it have killed Devin to smile with both sides of her mouth? Probably not, but maybe she just got some fresh filler and Botox and it was just setting in. Now, it seems all of Jihoon's parents' work and money is all for naught because just a few months later, Devin and the kids are flying back to the U.S. Her reason she gives is to make our marriage work, which is very, very vague. So does this mean Jihoon cheated or was he like slacking on finding a job or something? Or was Devin already planning her new life without him in the U.S.? Was she cheating on him? You know, I know there were a whole bunch of rumors and I think she's got a new boyfriend here in the States. A lot of stuff was going on and floating out there, but I don't really follow that all because, I mean, first, I don't really have time. But secondly, I know I would forget anyway and I would be here asking you like I am now. But I want to know what at that time was the impetus for her to take off and fly home. I've had a sibling, my sister, who lived in a different country. She was married with her kids. And when they needed to work on their marriage, it wasn't the first thing she did, like pick up her kids and fly back home. So it seems like there's something else going on there. Fill me in, fill all of us in. Let's talk about it in the Facebook group, or just point me in the right direction where I should look for that. Now, Ariella and Binyam, you guys, I have a confession to make. I am so sorry and I'm so disappointed in myself because for weeks now, for almost this entire season, I've just been calling Binyam, Binyam, Binyam this, Binyam that, baby, blah, blah, blah. Yet for the past 25 years, we have had the movie Selena with us. And there is a certain song from Selena that is basically always in the back of my mind, and it is Bitty Bitty Bom Bom. Every important moment in my life, some song from the movie Selena has come on, like pivotal moments. The day I graduated college, my wedding day, the moment our offer was accepted on our current house, like Bitty Bitty Bom Bom and everything, anything, Selena or J-Lo. Well, not J-Lo herself, but J-Lo as Selena. It's always on. So I'm getting somewhere with this. How I have not been singing Bitty Bitty Bom Bom for the last 2 months, it's unforgivable. So I am sorry. I will be singing it nonstop. Forgive me if you don't enjoy it, but I will be saying Bitty Bitty Bom Bom. So Bitty Bitty Bom Bom this week is Love and Life because it's his favorite holiday. It's called, like, I don't know, Tomcat or something. I know I got Tom Cruise on the brain because my Nicole Kidman fact and the fact that I'm watching or rewatching Leah Remini's Scientology series, which is now on Netflix. Okay, apparently I'm boring Scout back there. That was her yawning. Sorry, I'm a little worried where Shelly is. Okay, no one can find Shelly. Sue me. Or don't, please. Scientology, don't sue me. I have nothing. All right, where am I? Oh, okay. So this week on The Amazing Race, Ariella and Binyam are going to this Tomcat, Timcat, Tamkit, something, whatever. They're going to this event that's basically a mosh pit. I really want to know what you guys thought of this because as someone who hates crowds and isn't very religious, I hated every second of this. I felt the crowd. I felt the heat. And I think they could improve this event. You know, if the Catholic Church does one thing right, I'll tell you what it is. That holy water thrower thing. It comes out like a few times a year, special events. You guys know what I'm talking about if you're Catholic. It like looks like a meat mallet or like one of those glass globe things that you stick in your plant and it waters itself. But it can chuck water like, you guys have no idea. That thing can make water travel like 60 miles an hour? No. Okay, well, listen, all I know, I don't know like water forensics, but I know that you could be a good 20 pews back and the next thing you know, you have holy water all over your upper lip. So I don't understand why they're not utilizing something like that to reach the crowds, to get it out there to your fans. In saying that, I'm on Ari's side here, purely on my hatred of crowds. But, you know, I don't know if she should be complaining about heat when she's wearing a long sleeve dress. And she's got her kid, that little baby, dressed in this heavy flannel beanie. It looks like something, you know, baby St. Nicholas would wear. You know, it's got this plaid flannel on it. And the inside looks like it's a thick Sherpa lining. So why are you dressing your baby like that in Ethiopia in the middle of the summer? There's got to be more breathable fabrics available, some muslin or something. So and I guess I'm going back and forth here. I do feel bad for Bitty Bitty Bom Bom because his plans for proposing were spoiled by Ari's bad mood. But should he have even been proposing at Tomcat to begin with? I don't think so, because I think this proposal is kind of selfish. Hear me out. He's proposing on a day that is important to him. It is his favorite day. It's not even an event Ariella knows about or wants to be at or looks forward to. So they're both kind of guilty of wanting to have things their own way, right? They both want their baby raised a certain way. She wants to live a certain kind of life. She wants her baby to be Jewish, let's be honest. So all that to say, they have these huge issues between them. Yet, when it comes down to it, they push them all aside and just hug it out. Let's just hug it out. Followed by a proposal at the finish line for The Amazing Race. If you watch the show, you can fully appreciate it is the exact scenario. I think they might have had Phil at the finish line. Or I'm sure Ethiopia just copied something the Amazing Race planned, and now it's an event. It's a yearly event now. I mean, the proposal was sweet. You know, I guess if you like a huge public proposal where people are screaming your name and following you around with the banner. But I just wonder if at the end of the day, all of these super important issues like religion and basic lifestyle are going to come to a head and it's going to be real. For me, as an American, as a mom, I'm imagining Ari's future when she has little Avi, who's not a portable infant anymore. You know, he's not very mobile. They can strap him on and the baby goes wherever they go. But once that baby starts sitting up and moving, she's going to want more space. I know it. I'm a mom. I get it. You need more space for your kid to move around. Then add in the fact that if she stays there, he's going to be going to Ethiopian schools, which certainly will not be up to her standards because she herself had a, didn't she go to like a private Jewish school? Her dad's a doctor. Her mom is a nurse for 30 some years. She's going to start becoming resentful of the opportunities that Binny Bomb Bomb cannot deliver, you know? All right, I know that was really cynical, but I will try to leave it on a positive note. I really love The Amazing Race. It's one of my favorite shows. And actually, if you watch it, you should sign up for a Date with Dateline's Patreon because they are recapping it with one of my faves, Kim from People Are Wild. Okay, let's get to a big final would you rather for the week. And it's a good one, and it might be a little painful. Would you rather submit to a full body massage from a sumo wrestler with 60 grit sandpaper gloves on, followed by a dip in a hot sauce tub, or trust OG 90 Day Fiance Nicole, you know, with May and her Dora backpack, trust Nicole with our nuclear codes? Sandpaper, full body massage from a sumo wrestler, followed by a dip in a hot sauce tub, or 90 Day Fiance Nicole with our nuclear codes. Feel it, process it, let's talk about it. Remember, coming up on Patreon this week, Teen Mom 2 crossover and recap of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Total Request podcast. We are going to be covering MTV Fat Camp and Schitt's Creek Merry Christmas Johnny Rose. Please check out those links in the show notes. Leave a 5-star review. Even if you cannot type anything up, I really appreciate just clicking those 5 little stars. That would be amazing. And most of all, take care of yourself this week. Take care of the people you love. Reach out to them. Make sure you and everyone else are wearing a mask. Let's knock this COVID shit out in 2021. And of course, stay salty.